Don't worry. Be happy. Don't use that.
Please use that. Please use that.
Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are. We wouldn't be here, so let's not waste any more time. Here's Bradley.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to yet another Bottomed and Brad podcast.
Bradley. That's going to be Bottomed and Bradley, mate.
Body, we have some fun. How are you, mate?
I'm very good. We've got a lot to talk about.
We do.
The NBL and the WNBL starting this week, which is great because our guest is perfect for that.
I don't know if I've ever been more excited about a WNBL season this year. I don't know why. It's just
probably
really
in the wake of the World Cup.
You'd be right.
That,
yeah.
That was brilliant. Yeah, I mean, the records they set, you know, all sorts of crowd records, digital records, millions of, well, actually half a billion or billion people watching in China on there. Yeah, so it's a good time for women's basketball.
No, absolutely. So hopefully, it bleeds down to the coach. I mean, sorry, to the teams and coaches and players. That's what.
No, I like it bleeds down to the coach. It'd be good.
Yeah, well, yeah. Most of them always do, don't they? Yes. Speaking of coaches, let's move on.
Yeah,
we've got a great guest today, born in Adelaide. Yes, the Adelaide boy. He started as a player, but then he ended up coaching in the South Australian State League, which we now know as the NBL One Central. Then he moved on to West Adelaide, which, if I'm not mistaken, he coached players like Rachel Sporn, Rhonda Bates, who's now Rhonda Corcoran, and I love those players. He then started his WNBL coaching career with the Adelaide Lightning, but how about this, buddy? 8 of 9 WNBL grand finals. He was either a head coach or an assistant coach with Canberra, Townsville, and back to Adelaide. How amazing is that?
Yep.
He did win a couple as a head coach. He was an assistant at the Athens Olympics. He then coached at the Uni Games, where he won a gold medal, and Christy Wallace was part of that team. But which is a very amazing story, and we're so glad everything's okay. He wasn't even able to enjoy that because he had to come home and remove a tumor that was in his stomach. So we will talk about that, an amazing, amazing recovery. He was part of the Women's New Zealand team as a coach there, where he just basically helped out. And what that basically means is what a great coach he is. His contract with Adelaide, they decided to move in a different direction was the word that I heard. And then you look at it and go, well, who can grab him? Well, who else? Guy Malloy's old team, the Melbourne Boomers, jumped in and said, I'll take you. Thank you very much. Why? Because he's a winner. And we love having winners on this show. And it is great to have him. Chris Lucas, welcome to our pod.
Thanks for all that. great to be on. And I appreciate you calling me. And pleasure to be on.
Now, we're not going to tell a story of how you got into coaching women's basketball, but originally you were coaching, when you went from playing, you were coaching, Central District and then North Adelaide?
Yes, that's right. I went to Central Districts to North Adelaide, then back to Centrals as the head coach there for 2 seasons, I think it was.
So let's go back before that, Chris. How'd you get into basketball? I mean, you could be playing football, tennis. You know, what was it about basketball that drew you in as a kid?
Yeah, look, I grew up swimming, actually, and got to the national level, and I got to 13 years old, and I just wasn't enjoying it anymore, and I just said to my parents I just didn't want to do it anymore, and all my mates were playing basketballs, and they asked me to join in, and and that's really how it kicked off. And in those days, it was church basketball, and church basketball was a great competition. And my interest in the game started from there. And I started really early days. I was coaching my brother and David Gould just after he was actually part of my team before he had his horrible accident. And that's where my passion for the game, that was an under-14s team. And my passion sort of grew from that point onwards.
You started, if it's the right way to say, more as a men's coach, as we were saying, in South Australia. Is that right?
Yes, it is, yeah. Somebody called me and I actually resigned from that job because I wasn't happy with the direction the club was taking.
Right.
With some recruitment, and I resigned and wasn't coaching. Then somebody called me and said that.
So that would have been the worst phone call you've ever had. But let's keep going. Yeah, keep going.
And I said, well, if it's such a good job, why don't you take it? But that's how it actually happened. So I got a phone call. West Adelaide job was available. And I thought I'd do it for 12 months. And I was about 6 weeks into it and into the games, and I really did struggle with it initially, but it was actually my wife gave me a crook old lecture about how to handle women a lot better. And but
good.
It's the same game, but it's different in a way. The way that I just thoroughly enjoyed it. I made some adjustments and just progressed from there.
Let me elaborate to everyone there. The reason that was the worst phone call was one botty who made that phone call. That's
no,
why
I just because I knew Chris was interested in coaching, and the West Adelaide job was up, and there was that team had lots of great players in it. Nonetheless, so then Rachel Sporn, one of our all time greatest players ever to pull on a uniform. So I thought if you're going to go continue to coach, why not coach at that level? And at that time, Chris said to me, I'd rather coach under 18 boys. You remember those magic words, Chris?
Yeah, I did say that, yeah.
But you quickly learned that the women will give you twice as much.
I think that group of players, body. There was Debbie Miller, Trina Boulder, Hannah Sporn. There was a really good core there that got me really interested in taking the women's game to another level, I suppose. And I ended up being there for 7 years, so I really enjoyed that time. And then I got into national championships at the junior level as well. So that's where it all really started, I suppose. And I've never wanted to go back, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, I wanted to, because we've had some outstanding women's coaches on here, and like Tom Maher, Guy Malloy, and all of them. And I love hearing, because a lot of them do start out in the men's, which is a normal transition, and how they go to women's. What is it that you like so much about that? And look, I don't want to put words in people's mouths, but you look at the men's league now, it's all about athleticism. With women, they run plays. I love it. I love watching them play the
real
game of basketball.
Real basketball.
But talk to me, Chris. Is that what is it?
I love the way the girls grow as a team. It takes time to build a team and the chemistry and set the identity of a team. And I think with women, creating that environment where they want to play for each other, and sure, you have systems in place, but I also try and coach a style where the players feel free to play within their talents, but within the team environment. And what I get out of coaching is seeing the end result of that, and that's what I really enjoy more than anything.
What about your issue with coffee? Because I was talking to Susie Bakovic, and she said the one good thing about you leaving Townsville was that she could get over her caffeine addiction, because apparently you really like to get to know your players and you take them out for coffee a lot. So obviously your coaching extends beyond just walking out onto a basketball court.
Yeah, it's always a bit of a joke, but I've got this philosophy, and I feel like I'm a bit of a giver. And I think it's important to get to know your athletes, regardless if it's a Susie Bakovic or a Kate Gaze or whoever that may be.
Completely agree.
Initially, when I got to Townsville, if we needed to have a meeting with a player, I just found that it was more relaxed if you took them out of the office environment and you go and have a coffee and you talk it through. And if they've got any grievances that they want to discuss, or they want to be able to feel comfortable with their coach, and I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but I know it works for me. And I want players to feel the freedom to communicate with the coaches and be the best that they can possibly be and want to get better.
Right.
I feel that that's a good environment to do it.
Mm. Right. So what would you say to this point? I mean, you've coached a lot now, Chris. Well, what would you say to this point has been the high point of your coaching? Like, what was, if someone said, you can't coach again, what's your best memory? What would it be?
That's a real tough one. I think representing your country is pretty special. I think winning championships at the WNBL level was pretty special. I think my best, most enjoyable basketball experience would be the 2018 World Cup in Spain, Tenerife in Spain.
Yep.
I think the World Uni Games team in 2017 was just one of the best basketball experience and best group of people I've ever experienced.
Wow.
You know, I've had some shitty experiences too, but I think they stand out. Athens, you know, representing country at that level. You know, I think those sort of environments bring out the best in people, and they're the ones that probably stand out to me the most. But I just want, you know, I'm getting to the end of my career. I know that. But I just want to enjoy what I do and enjoy the people I'm working with.
Fabulous answers. Okay, I want to ask something now, which we very rarely get to do because we don't get quality like this. You've been through winning a WNBL championship. You've been through Athens. You've been through gold medals, as you've just said. What is the difference when you coach them? What I'm trying to get at is if you're coaching a team, you've got them for what, 8-9 months compared to a team that you might have for 2 weeks and then a bit of a preseason going to the Olympics. What's the difference?
Yeah, it's a process. I think short-term preparation is really tough, but I think you need to have complete buy-in by the athletes. With a WNBL season, you get time to grow, adjust on the run, and you know, implement different systems and different sets and systems that suit your group. And I'm in the process of doing that right now because reality is I only had Kayla come in 4 trainings ago. Christy Wallace only come in 2 weeks ago. Wow. And then I lost Madgen, so then I had to promote some DPs. So that process is tough, but it's also fun. But in a short-term turnaround, you have to have your system in place before you get there, and you drill it and just get it on the floor. And I think if you're sound defensively, you hope that the offense just falls into place. And I think that's the way I've approached those sort of systems.
Right. Excuse me. Now, Chris, you realize when you inherit a championship team, you're on a bit of a hiding to nothing, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm under the pump, to be quite honest with you.
Look, let's not sugarcoat it.
Yeah, of course, mate.
It was interesting because I can remember the second interview was with Michelle Timms and one of the board members, and that was on the Monday after Melbourne had secured the championship. And I looked at it and I thought, well, I'm damned if I do and damned if I don't, because I'm walking into a situation, if they'd won it, it was going to be tough. And if they hadn't won the championship against Perth, it's a different sort of challenges. But I've been through both situations. I lost in Townsville. I lost 2 grand finals in a row to Bendigo, which was just a fantastic team. And then we made some adjustments. I made some adjustments defensively and coaching-wise, and we won 2 championships. So I've been on the back end of both. I think the best situation right now with the Melbourne team is history is great, but the less we talk about it, and we just move forward. And this is a different team, and I've got huge amount of challenges in front of me, but I'm excited by that. And I've always believed that, you know, pressure and expectations is something you shouldn't walk around. You should run directly at it. And I will do that here. I know what's in front of me. I knew what I was taking on, but that's the way I'm built. I just love that situation. And, you know, what will be will be. I think, you know, it's going to take some time for me here to get the best out of this group. And I intend to do that, but I just need some time to grow the group.
So just when buddy.
I was going to say, just for the benefit of the listeners who don't know, from last year's team, I know we don't want to talk about history, but from last year's team, Lindsay Allen won't be there. She's playing in Europe. Izzy Magbegor won't be there. She's playing in Europe. Tess Madgen will be missing for the first couple of months of the season due to her knee issues as a consequence of the World Cup. So it will be a very different-looking Melbourne.
Excuse me, buddy, and Lily Scanlon is off the floor. So I have no backup at the moment. And then Izzy Chilcock, who retired. Yeah, so pretty challenging.
But besides that, you're fine, is what you're saying.
Yeah,
everything's fine. Love and Melbourne life, love and Melbourne coffee, and
Well, that was actually, and Boddy, I'm glad you sort of said that, because that was where my next question was coming from. When you sit down and, you know, all coaches do this, you sit down with the team and go, right, this is the direction you're going at. You throw out what happened last year. Isn't that easier when you lose players of that nature to say, no, we're not the same team. This is where we're going now. Does that make it easier or harder?
I just think the less you talk about it, the better. I think, you know, we had an import that we'd signed and then she got injured, and you just got to roll with the punches sometimes. And I think getting the best out of the group is what every coach should do. And I think if that's, you know, I know what's in front of me and that's going to be tough, but I will get there. But is it good enough? Well, only time will tell. But I don't tend to talk about it too much here with the sideline series. That's been fantastic for the women's game, but it sort of feels like it's been going on and on and on. And I just, I actually don't talk about it. I just get on with it and just be myself. And I think that's all you can do is just be yourself and bring in my own system, my own ideas. And hopefully I, you know, the players, see 9 or 10 players were actually signed before my appointment. And, right. You know, my job is to get the best out of the group, and that's what I'll do.
Right. Did you sign a how many years did you sign there for?
In Melbourne?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, 2+1.
Right, okay. When you are now looking at the season, let's be honest, what do you anticipate? Is it I want playoffs? Is there a team that you feel is going to, you know, like a South side, like, wow, they've got Lauren, this one's going to go? What are you thinking heading into this season?
If any coach goes into this league at this level not expecting to make finals, they shouldn't be coaching in the league. So
good
that
call.
Is the expectation for myself.
Great.
But I did mention at interview that every team, and I think this is pretty well on the money, every team has up-recruited over what Melbourne had last year. And Sydney are looking sharp. Townsville have up-recruited. I think Flyers are deep as... Bendigo are going to be good. Perth are going to be good. Everyone's different, but everyone's up-recruited. So,
fantastic, though. Great for the league.
Absolutely amazing for the women's game and the league.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing. So, we've got some pretty special athletes coming into our league, that's for sure.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
Without talking about Melbourne here, like, who do you see as the main threats for the championship? I mean, the season starts this week, so we're sort of trying to look at it as a bit of a preview. So who would you sort of sit back and go, okay, they're going to be particularly – everyone's going to be tough. We get that. But is there anyone that – any one or two or three that maybe you look at go, they're the ones you're going to have to get past?
I think there's four for me right now. I can only base it on what I see on paper and
sure.
a couple of, you know, games. I think Flyers are going to be tough. I think Adelaide are going to be tough. They're deep as. I think Townsville will be around the mark and Bendigo will be a big improver.
Right.
And Sydney, you know, I don't think it's going to be one team winning 18 games out of 21. I really don't. I think it's going to be one of those years where you have to be on point every day that you get out of bed and ready to play, because I think anybody's going to beat anybody. And that's the reality of it. And I think it's great for the women's game. I really do.
Now, Chris, given that you are passionate about basketball, and anybody who knows you knows that, what about your family members? Did you get your boys playing basketball?
Yeah, no, they, three guys had a crack. So Michael was the only one that pursued that, and he played junior basketball for West Adelaide and Norwood. And then his twin brother, Simon, ended up jumping to squash, and he played at the national level for South Australia. And then my oldest son, he played for a while, but he's never really been sporty, so that didn't roll that way. But, you know, they've all made their own lives now, but I think sport's an important part of that, you know, that upbringing and part of their life, especially as kids.
And how are you going to go living in Melbourne, given that you have grandfather duties?
Yeah, that's... That is challenging. We have a FaceTime hookup at least once or twice a week with all of them. And I'm making sure I do that. And, you know, Jeanette's happy. She's gets rid of Chris for 5 months and gets paid for the privilege. So that's working really well.
Yeah. Now, I've got one for you, though, and I don't want to get you a fine or anything, or I don't want to get you in trouble, but it just seems an oddity to me that the season would start on a Wednesday. Is there something going on in Perth where they wanted the game on a Wednesday because there's, you know, some big celebration in Western Australia or something? Because it just seems like the oddest of days to start a season.
No idea, to be quite honest with you.
Good answer.
what I've done here, because you know, you'll see Wednesday, you know, how we're looking, but I've just looked at you know, we've got a FIBA window coming up with a 10-day break. So what I've done is I've just looked at the first four games and over that 3 and a bit weeks, and I'm just treating that as a mini season and just see how we're looking after that. because I'm being honest. The preparation over the first 3.5-4 weeks that I've had has been probably it has been the most difficult preparation I've ever had. But I'm not going to walk away from that. I'm just going to keep fighting and keep preparing. So I've looked at the first 4 games. Never really considered whether it was Wednesday because they're all over the place anyway.
Right.
Our second game's on a Wednesday night with the Flyers, so there's going to be a lot of it's going to be condensed as we go, I think.
There's a FIBA window, did you say?
Apparently, yeah.
So the Opals are supposed to be playing?
Yes, I don't know. I just know there's a 10-day break. So,
Might look into that. I think they might be confusing that with the men's FIBA window. But anyway, let's move right along. We have reached that point where we're going to ask you some, throw some names at you, Chris. And
I'm listening.
No, you just throw back the first.
Just so you know, before we start this, Chris, it is a family show, so we won't bring up body. So don't worry, it's all clear. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
All right. So just a word, a sentence, an anecdote, whatever first pops into your mind. You want to leave this off, Brad?
Yes, I will. Steph Talbot.
Persistence. She, out of all the athletes I've had the pleasure of coaching, that girl just doesn't stop because she always wants to get better. From a junior right through to this point, and if you spoke to her today, there's still something she wants to get better at. And I think she's in unbelievable shape, but her persistence to be the best that she can possibly be is an absolute role model to our young female athletes.
Nice.
Brilliant. Listen, I'm just going to segue away from this for a second and ask you a question that should have occurred to me before. But you mentioned how good Steph Talbot is. Who do you reckon is the best player that you've coached?
Susie Bakovic, without a doubt.
Okay. Well, that's going to ruin one of yours, Brad.
Yeah, thank you for that, Cody. I really appreciate it, mate. Way to go there.
All right. Here's the next name for you. Michelle Timms.
I just love this. Michelle Timms, I think, is an absolute icon to Australian women's basketball. And when I speak to her occasionally, she's pretty busy with her coaching, but when I do speak to her, whatever comes out of her mouth, I just listen and absorb, and she's a straight shooter. I just love her to death, and I just admire the woman so much.
Beautiful, beautifully said, and wasn't she brilliant in commentary? Her insight was great over that World Cup as well. This might shock you, this one. Susie Bakovic. No, I know you went down that path, but I do want to hear, she's the best, but let's hear what. Go for it.
Yeah, absolute champion. And that you don't use that word lightly, I don't think, because she is a champion of the game, of the women's game. She's done it all. But there's a perception that and it's been suggested as well that we won championships in Townsville because of Susie. No, we had terrific balance in the team, and what Susie did and her ability to get the team to go to another level definitely assisted that, no question. But I just think she's just a champion. I just love her to death, and thoroughly enjoyed my time with her. And we had some battles. Don't you worry about that. We banged heads occasionally, but utmost respect for her as a player, but also a person.
Brilliant.
Yeah. I mean, the champions are challenging, aren't they? I mean, because they've got a way of looking at the game, and if you're able to sort of accommodate that and not get sort of...
But I'll add one step further. And Chris, I'm sorry, I'm not just, trying to blow your trumpet here. That's the biggest challenge of a coach.
Yeah.
Is how you maneuver, how you make those challenges. I mean, it sounds like you probably spent $1.4 million on coffees, but it's but it's, that's the number one thing. 90% of your coaching is done before the ball's in the air. And that's the challenge.
Yeah, I think, Brad, though, in my younger days, I don't think I did a very good job of that. And it took me time to realise that they're very highly strung. They want to be the best that they can be. They have opinions, but you've got to listen first. And I think you've got to know your athletes, and I think that's super important. And it's not just about one player. It's about every athlete in your group you have to know.
100%.
Susie just had an amazing ability to get players around her to another level, and I think that's that takes pretty special athletes to do that.
Nice.
And I got another special athlete for you, Rachel Sporn.
I don't know what words do describe her. Just a genuine individual superstar, represented her country with absolute pride, represented the Lightning, an amazing person.
Oh, brilliant. I'm going to finish mine, and I hope I get this surname right, buddy. Rachel Flanagan, am I saying that right?
Flanagan, sorry.
Rachel Flanagan.
McCully now.
Oh, okay, yeah.
There you go, you got it wrong anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rachel McCully, in my view, very, very underrated point guard. She was from the old school. I think she won, I'm pretty confident, body. She ran one defensive player of the year in the WNBL one year.
Yeah.
An absolute determined. She'd walk out of a game with, you know, 6 points, 8 assists, 7 defensive rebounds. So she was never a high-scoring point guard, but her ability to facilitate and organise her teams was amazing.
Yeah.
Played a big part in the first championship in North Queensland.
Yeah, she's sort of falling into that Damian Martin sort of category of point guard where scoring's not your main thing. Yeah. Okay, now I had to toss up between two names, between Tess Madgen and Christy Harrower, but I'm going to go with Christy Harrower.
Well, I'm going to shoot from the hip here. Absolutely loving working with her. Amazing basketball brain. And I think she can take her coaching as far as she wants to.
What are you implying? A potential Opals coach down the track?
Why not? Because that basketball brain. I've known Christy since 2002. We've been friends and acquaintances since that time. And her working, I'm not bringing any other coaches in. I've just decided that her and I are going to take the reins. And we're going to work together and get the best possible result we can out of this group. But loving working with her. She's an amazing person and player. And, I think right up there with the icons of women's basketball.
You are not the first one I've heard say that, and you're certainly not the first one I've heard say that's the next Opals coach. So there is something there. Yeah, absolutely.
I want to actually help her to be the best she can possibly be. And, she did some stuff on the floor today, and I've gone, oh, wow. And that's the wonderful thing about coaching is that you never stop learning. So
yeah, one last one, Chris. Health-wise, you're okay? All good from...
I'm good. Appreciate you asking. No, I think I'm in great shape. I walk every day. I'm keeping a balance. Loving being here. It's going to be hard work, I know, especially early, but I'm loving being in Melbourne and keeping that balance and keeping myself relaxed. And, yeah, everything's going well.
Brilliant.
Chris, Body's always spoken highly of you, and I be honest, haven't really spoken to you prior to this. I realise why now you are who you are and what the coach you are, and you're a bloody great coach because you can just tell you're a player's coach, and it sounds like you're a bloody better guy, mate. Thank you so much for coming on this pod. It was really, really nice. We wish you all the best for the upcoming season.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I'm sure... Well, you will. You'll do a great job. So good luck and thanks for joining us on this Brad and Botten podcast.
Thank you very much for having me on. Thanks, guys.
Well, what a great pod. I'm a big fan of Chris Lucas. I've known of him. You're obviously quite close with him, but he was great. That word he used, or that sentence, pressure and expectation, that was amazing.
Yeah, run directly toward it.
Yeah, like just, you know, like... just straight through the brick hole, you know, like brick wall. I love that. Anyway, fantastic pod. He'll be great with them. Love that Christy Harrell bit too. They'll be good. And man, they're tough. They're going to be tough.
What do you got? Let's have a quick run through with what's on WNBL this first
round. So it starts this round, obviously. Perth versus Melbourne. Capitals, Bendigo. Flyers, Adelaide. Bendigo backing up against Perth, backing up. And Townsville backing up against, and then going up against Capitals as the backup. There's some great teams, great players. Chris even mentioned it. They're all going to be, you know, they're all better. They've all upped their teams. What's your pick of the round, that one?
Well, possibly I'm biased with this because I'm interested in seeing what Nat Hurst is going to be doing with the Adelaide Lightning. And I'm also interested in seeing what Lauren Jackson will be doing with Southside Flyers. So Southside Adelaide is the game of the round for me. Mm. But, there's some good ones there, but that's the one I'll be most looking forward to seeing. At this stage, it's premature to try to tip because you haven't really got a bit of any sort of read on anybody.
Look, if you're going to ask me right now, Yeah, this might shock you that I'll go for the
The light blue team.
I'll go for Bendigo. No. I'll go for the Southside Flyers. It may shock you,
New South Wales
but I'm
colours,
actually.
Yes.
I know. I'm actually also interested to see. Obviously, I still always have a soft spot for the Flames. You know, I grew up with Michelle Timms era and you know all of that, and Robin Maher and Shelley Gorman and stuff. So to me, Annie Lafleur, I still always have a soft spot for that team. So they'll be better. I actually interviewed Keely Froling the other night.
Right.
And she's pumped for this season, and they've got expectations. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, I heard there was a spectator that was a bit pumped with you, but let's just move on.
Let's not go there.
But that's NBL. So let's switch to NBL. And on that topic. When you're hot, you're hot. Who's hot?
Well, I'm going to go with the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix. When you're hot, they are hot. And right now, they are humming. I'm loving what I'm seeing. We've had Simon Mitchell on this pod, and he's the loveliest man. So I'm so happy for him, and he deserves it. And as a coach, he probably puts his hands up and said, see, this is what I can get if I get my full team. And he's got them, right? So loving what they're bringing, buddy.
Yeah, I've got to agree. But mine, when you're hot, and how hot are the New Zealand Breakers? Oh, yeah. Come into Adelaide, belt them by near enough to 30, go home, Tasmania comes over, only got the one game for the round, Tasmania, and they belt them by 30. So, like, that is a real statement. They're the top of the league. I'm very, very impressed with the way they're playing defense, the way they're moving the ball. Guys like Pardon, who, you know.
Brilliant, isn't he? It's nice to see that big man, you know, just going to work down low.
Kind of a throwback.
We chatted about with Chuck last week, you know. Yeah. That was great. But can you believe, not that we talk sports and odds and all of this on here, but can you believe they've still got them? I think it's like they're like seventh in the winning circle. Like the odds are saying New Zealand to win it, they've got seven teams above them or six teams above them or something. Whoa, it's like, I know they look really, really good. And I'll tell you who does that. I like that William McDowell White and Liao in the backcourt. And I never thought I'd say that. I just, you know, you need that import point guard, but they don't. They don't. Well, they've got
Brown as well.
Well, they do, but. To me, he's not that ball-dominant point guard, right, where Will McDowell-White and Isaiah Liatha, their passing, their defense and everything. I just love it.
Yeah, he's a complimentary player. That's what they've got. They've got guys that are actually able to work together. So, yeah.
All right, come on, move on. Give me a nudge nasty.
Oh, look, my nudge nasty this week is what the hell, you know, delay of game. Obviously, all the referees got told this week's call of the week is delay of game. And you know what? They delay the game far longer by calling delay of game than any delay of game. Now, if you've called a foul, right, you're going to turn to the bench, you're going to signal the foul. Okay, so if someone shoots the ball in that time or doesn't hand it to you directly, whatever, you haven't actually lost any time because you're actually going through what you're supposed to be doing as a referee, which is signaling to the bench, making sure they've got the right guy. So the delay of game is more the referees delaying it by calling delay of game.
Okay, that's the way I'm seeing it from the outside. Let me come from a different angle. And this, please, I don't want to get this, you're an employee of the league. No, I'm not, right? Okay, I do commentary, but I'm not employed to say what is right. But let me throw this at it, right? I remember about 8 years ago when I first started commentary, right? And I remember Mal Cooper had taken over. And there was a pre-season tournament I'll get to my point here. There's a pre-season tournament in North Sydney. And anytime someone touched you on the hip, foul. There was like 60 fouls. And everyone was like, this is ridiculous, right? And the situation there is that we went two steps back to go 10 steps forward. Now, those grand finals and everything were like 20, you know, 50 points, 70 points. Now it's 100, right? So it did clear it up. My thing is, whilst I believe they've taken it over the top too much now, I feel that's where they need to go. So then they don't get the ones where you're saying where it's a foul, no problems. I agree. Yeah. You can do whatever you like. But those ones where they call a travel and then someone shoots it, that's what they're trying to take out of the game. That's why I don't sort of necessarily say this is a bad thing early in the season. Don't do it and get a tech foul for a grand final. No. But I can see by two steps back. I don't know if it's that bad. Let's see what it pans out.
It just for the weekend's round, it seemed terribly excessive. And can I just say that I do remember 8 years ago before you were commentating, and
the good times.
We call those the good old days. Yeah. Okay. So give us your rose and the rattler.
It's funny you say that. My wife says that before our wedding day. I don't know why that happens. My rattler. Well, on to New Zealand. Like, you took it from me by saying that, you know, they were hot and you're hot. To me, it's Modi, the coach. He has been outrageous. And when he was interviewed recently and they said, you know, something along the lines of, you know, how you join this coaching gig, I hate it. It's not fun. But I got it, you know, like as if to say it is such a pressured job, and it is. Yeah. But those players look like they'll run through a brick wall for him. Now, you know, to be fair, he was pretty crazy on the sideline last year. He's a different head coach, man.
Oh,
and I feel for Dan Shamir, because he took over New Zealand in a very awkward time with what he had to go through.
Yeah.
But they've picked up an absolute beauty here, and I'm really enjoying what I'm watching with Modi. Look at them all smiling yesterday in that game.
Yeah.
They were great.
I'm telling you, I never thought I'd say this, but I absolutely love New Zealand Breakers, love what he's doing. I love Tasmania Jack Jumpers, love what Scott Roth's doing. I'm loving Cairns Taipans. I'm loving what Adam Ford's doing. I mean, that's not to say, you know, the other clubs that I don't have a soft spot for them here and there, but those three clubs, whenever they're playing, those are games I want to watch.
I just picked up something. By you saying that, you know what that's telling me? You love a team that runs their offense, plays their defense hard, and plays basketball.
Yeah, that's it. And that's why I've always been a fan of the women's game, because you don't necessarily have that superstar athlete that can just give them the ball, everyone clear out.
Yep.
So I think Adelaide made that mistake a few times in its loss to the Phoenix, where they just sort of basically said to Craig Randall, can you just take care
of
business
game for us?
And it's like, you don't see that when you see Tasmania or Cairns or, you know, or New Zealand play.
Illawarra, Tyler Harvey, can you win us this game? He's shooting 29% from the three-point line. They're one win from seven losses.
Look, I think we both have something we'd like to say to the Illawarra Hawks fans, the hard, long-suffering fans, and this is what it is.
Don't worry, be happy.
I'm sorry to people. We just had to go there, didn't we? We just had to go there. On that note, we're out, buddy. Thank you. Hey, can I just say Burger Boss, baby?
Yeah, they've forgiven me for last week's foot and mouth disease.
No, they haven't.
If you didn't hear last week's show, that's good. It's good. It was a good show.
you and a lot of other people.
You and the majority.
Thanks to Piranha Media. It's brilliant to have them on board. Buddy, have a fantastic week. And to everyone, enjoy the start of the WNBL season. We're super looking forward to this one, and we'll be updating it, obviously, every week. And to the NBL, may it keep rolling. There's some beauty of games. See you next time, everyone. Have a great week. Thanks, buddy.
Now, you saw the United Illawarra game. You called that one. So how is it that Dean Vickerman calls out Jordan Caroline and then apologises for doing so, throws him under the bus and then sort of pulls him back out, dusts him off, and then he's got a hamstring injury. Come on.
Oh, mate, I've got to tell you a quick story about that. That was hilarious. So I parked in Illawarra and I'm walking to the stadium, because you just parked near there, and who should walk right next to me? Dean Vickerman. And I said to him, oh, mate, how are you going? He said, it's been a week from hell. And can you bloody believe it? Jordan Caroline pulls his hamstring. Everyone in the world's going to think, yeah, sure he has. But he bloody did.